I actually have a lot of optimism. I think that as we look to reopening the economy in California, California's economy will recover on the backs of retail. And I think that there's so much opportunity. I think there's a lot of resources, and there's a lot of us out there that really want to help, particularly our independent retailers, be successful. Take advantage, take a risk, and you never know how successful you could end up being.
It's no secret that the coronavirus is affecting all of us as individuals, but the effect it's having on business, especially small business, is unprecedented. We need a game plan, and fast. If we're going to survive this, we need resources and we need each other. We can't do it alone. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. With my background in economic and workforce development, disaster preparedness, and general business strategy, I know I can help you navigate this scary time in your business and beyond. It's all about resiliency. I'll have the most current solutions and best practices available so we can ensure your business not only survives this crisis, but thrives once we start moving forward again. Co-hosting with me will be my colleague, Sid Varacara, principal of 10 Page Memo. We'll have invited experts to help us navigate through the current noisy landscape of resources and programs that are being made available today and who will be able to prepare us for tomorrow. Let's do this together. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business.
You're listening to Hack My Business in partnership with Avant House Media. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to like and leave us a review of your thoughts on the show.
Welcome to Hack My Business, a podcast designed to help you, the entrepreneur, hack to success by giving you the best tools, tips, and access to experts that can help you to launch and grow your business. My name is Jesse Torres, creator of Hack My Business, and I'm joined by my co-host, Sid Varacara, Senior Vice President for Strategies 360. Sid and I will be leading this special episode series, which is focused on helping small businesses impacted by COVID-19 pandemic get back on their feet and strategize for the future. Sid, how's it going today?
Hi, Jesse. Today I'm doing pretty well, actually. I guess I was just in back-to-back meetings, which means that I'm working and I have a full load of projects. And honestly, today I actually found out that I got a new contract to support businesses kind of navigate the uncertainties of reopening stages 2 and 3. So I'm looking forward to that work and your expertise and helping me do that work well.
That's great to hear, man. It's good to hear that you're always hustling, just like I am. You know, I think I think a lot of people might think that this is the time to kind of sit back and see how things develop. But you know, I think we've always been on the mindset that we always need to be very proactive, even during really uncertain times. And you know, speaking of uncertain times, I'm really excited and thankful to welcome our special guest to today's show, Rachel Michelin, president of the California Retailers Association. The California Retailers Association works to be the most significant voice representing the retail industry in California's public policy arena at the state capitol and city halls and with regulatory bodies across the state. Rachel oversees a diverse board and membership representing retail throughout the state and nation, from small business brick and mortar to franchises to national retailers and online merchants. She has an impressive professional background and has spent the past 20 years leading associations with particular expertise on strategic growth and engagement, increasing revenue, developing partnerships, statewide influence, and public awareness. We'll be talking with Rachel about how she approaches effective policy and stakeholder development and get her insights on how COVID-19 has impacted retail in California and what the future holds for the industry. Rachel, we're so grateful to have you joining us today. Thank you for being with us.
Great. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Absolutely. You know, one thing we like to do at the start of every show is share a personal business hack, you know, a tip that can help an entrepreneur improve their business processes or strategies. Do you have a business hack that you'd like to share with our audience?
You know, I'm trying to think. One of the things that I've really started to do, especially in the kind of situation that we're in, that's been kind of stressful, is I do have taken that where I get up early in the morning, have a cup of coffee, and I try to get out and do a walk or a run to kind of clear my head and to think and kind of get ready for the day. I've noticed, particularly the last couple of weeks, that has been a saving grace to take kind of a little time for myself before I spend my whole day, you know, putting out fires and helping other folks with some of the challenges that they're facing. So that's been very helpful to me. I picked that up from another association CEO, and I started putting it into practice, and it's really been helpful.
I definitely appreciate that. I know when, you know, when I haven't worked out in a while, I just feel, I'm in such a funk, you know, and I have to say, I miss the, you know, my gym, you know, I belong to 24 Hour Fitness, yeah. Right? And so I really miss that in the weights. And then, of course, you know, I was too late. And so when I tried to order, you know, personal weights for the house, it was already all sold out, right? So all I have is this kind of rinky-dink kind of weight set here. But, it, you know, what instead what I've been doing is going on these long runs with the mask on. And it definitely puts me in such a better zone, you know, getting that physical exercise. Mm-hmm. I think it really beats it as far as just getting that kind of concentration, kind of refocusing and even just re-energizing yourself. So I definitely appreciate that. You know, one thing that I like to do as far as sharing a hack for our listeners is, you know, I'm trying to become much better at productivity, at keeping on top of tasks. I use Smartsheet. I don't know if you use Smartsheet or any kind of other similar tool, but it's an online project management tool. They're not a sponsor to the show, but it's just a great, you know, really useful online kind of database, you know, project management system. For those who use or are familiar with the Agile system, project management, it really kind of helps you keep on top of tasks. We use it all the time for all of our different projects. So I, you know, now more than ever, I really feel like I need something that just helped me kind of stay on top of projects and tasks. And so that's been really helpful for me. Sid, how about you? What's your business hack?
Yeah, my business hack is really about business development. I feel like I can get so caught up in the day-to-day work that I am currently doing that I try to like think about what's on the horizon. So, and in order to do that, I try to find maybe 5 contacts a week that I am just reaching out to and connecting with and identifying and finding out what's going on in their world. And it's not a pitch as much as it is just a point of contact to make sure that the relationship stays warm and that they're thinking about me, and who knows when an opportunity may arise where I may get a phone call that is, hey, Sid, we could use your help on a particular project.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great tip there. Rachel, we know that you have a significant amount of policy and association building experience. Can you tell us, you know, how did you find yourself in this line of work, and what road led you to the CEO position for the California Retailers Association?
So I, back in college, have always been fascinated with politics and policy. My dream was actually to go into more international relations, kind of foreign policy. But I was fascinated about state government. I worked a little bit on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., interned for a United States senator, came back to California and worked for different members of the legislature, came to Sacramento, and just really kind of fell in love with policy and, you know, really the part of government that is about helping other Californians and how policy can really do that. I worked in the building in the Capitol for a couple of years, decided I wanted to do something a little bit different, left and started working for an organization called the California Elected Women's Association for Education and Research. It was called CWAR. I took that position as the policy director and really delve into some issues around childhood obesity and transportation and different kinds of things. Really enjoyed it. The president, the CEO at the time, left, and I put my hat in the ring for that position and was granted that position as the new executive director CEO, where I was for 18 years. I took that organization from being something that was really kind of Sacramento-focused, rebranded it to an organization called California Women Lead, expanded it. We had other states copying the programs that we were doing. We were instrumental during the Brown administration in being the only state to reach a threshold that 50% of political appointees in the state were women. So really was able to, on a bipartisan level, broaden this organization, do programs throughout the state, bring in different revenue, strategically position the organization to really be an influence when it came to civic participation, particularly among women and the diversity of women that we were able to engage. And then I kind of, you know, decided I needed, I spent so much time and I so loved working with these amazing women that this opportunity came up where they actually reached out to me and said, would you be interested in coming and running the Retailers Association? It's completely kind of outside my comfort zone, but not really. And I said, you know, I need to practice what I preach, which is in leadership, you need to take a risk. You need to put yourself out there. And so I did. I left my comfort of running this association, decided to take on this role about 18 months ago. We rebranded, new logo, moved offices, new colors, new everything, really bringing it into relevance. This was prior to when we entered into this new situation we're in with COVID-19. But I think I was uniquely positioned to be able to use my network around the state that I've built up, a lot of relationships that I have within the business community, but also within elected and appointed officials throughout the state that really enabled me to help the retail industry in California navigate kind of this new dynamic that we're in and help both large and small businesses hopefully come out on the other side intact and maybe a little bit stronger than they were before.
Rachel, this is Sid. I just want to say congratulations to you for taking that leap of faith and that risk to move from what was a career of 18 years of in one association and jumping into the Retailers Association. And I think I actually share your story about becoming politically aware in my college and years, and actually spent a long time career actually in government or around policy and advocacy before becoming an entrepreneur myself. And so risk taking is really part and parcel. I think it's part of the DNA of anybody who's in that world. And I'd love to know, maybe if you could just share a story that was an aha moment for you, like even in advocating for a legislative change in Sacramento, where you realize, like, okay, this is how you move levers of power or how you organize to move an agenda, both at the state capitol or among just the community of stakeholders with whom you work with.
You know, I think, and I'll give two examples. One was a project I was really proud of, which was the California State Women's Appointments Project. And when I took on that project, it was part of a broader national project. There were about 9 other states that were doing the same thing. And, you know, California being, it's huge. We're almost 6 states. I tell people we're 6 states into one. And so when we took that on, it seemed like this huge task, and it had never been done before. No one had ever done it. And I worked really hard, traveled all over California, spoke to every group you can imagine. I was on the phone with CEOs of Fortune, 100 companies who wanted to serve as an appointee of the governor, but didn't know how. And you started to realize, at least I did, that my expertise, but not only that, but my leadership style was able to inspire other women to take a risk. And that's really what it was about. And that was a real turning point for me, I think, in my career. I think going forward and looking at what I do now with the Retailers Association, I was brand new to the job, probably 6 months in, and was asked to fly back to Washington, D.C. to present to general counsels of some of the largest national retail brands you can imagine in the country, worldwide brands, and talking about privacy in California. And, I was nervous. What am I? I'm the new kid. Who's this woman coming from California? We don't know who she is. I knew I was kind of being judged a little bit. She came out of nowhere. And I just was myself and authentic to who I was and said, this is, and talking about privacy and CCPA that was going on. It's still going on in California, and realizing that, so much of being successful is knowing your stuff. I do a lot of research. I do a lot of, reading and making sure that I know what I'm going to say, but it's also being authentic and being confident in the message that you're bringing. And I think that for me, I realized that when I'm leading a group, when I'm on a call with national stakeholders, when I'm talking about California, talking about policy, and you're authentic and you're true, right? And I say, and I try to make it very, this is kind of the honest truth of what's going on. I try to make sure people understand and I'm available. That really then translates to having that power and that voice. And I think that has been something that I've learned. I learned it early in my career, and I continue to hone that in as I continue to grow my own leadership journey.
Something you said really makes me think about the work I did for GoBiz as the small business advocate for the state. You made a comment about how there are six parts to the state, you know, they're almost like six states in one. And I think that's so true. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, they just don't really fully grasp it. You know, one thing I did when I first took on the job with GoBiz, the governor's office of business and economic development, is I actually took the time to travel through the entire state. So I started up north and just, you know, made my way down, so from Eureka on down, and just kind of took my time with it, you know, engaging with different community stakeholders, small business owners, really to try to get a sense of the land, you know. And, you know, one moment that always, you know, encapsulated California for me was when I think I was in a bar in Chico, just trying to get a late night meal. And there was this gentleman, we struck a conversation. He was a fairly hardcore, you know, Trump supporter, but also a marijuana farmer, right? And I said, oh, this is so California. And that the people who come in thinking that California is just one thing, they always walk away very disappointed, you know, when they when confronted with reality. And, you know, one question I have for you, because you're overseeing an association that's dealing with a very diverse and large industry, retail, you know, and in many ways reminds me of the work I had to do around small business, which, as you can imagine, has just a lot of different people trying to be the voice of small business, you know, having their own perspective of what it means to be a small business. Even the definition of small business, everybody kind of argues about what that really is. So how do you go about that kind of work? You know, how do you become the voice of retail for a state like California?
So I'm still learning, but it is challenging. And, you know, and I'll use an example. And I think the COVID-19 is a great example, is that this notion of essential business and non-essential business. And that was a really interesting dynamic to kind of navigate, because I had member companies that have always been open and they were deemed essential. And I had other member companies, and particularly our small independent retailers, that were deemed non-essential. I don't like that term. I don't agree with that term. I think all business is essential. I think it's something that we need to work through, continuing forward and distancing where we end up as we kind of continue to reopen the state. I kind of look at it as, you know, you to your point about California, you know, and advocating for retail, I've got members that are on the coast that are independent retailers that their entire business model is around the beach cities and tourism and that type of thing. I have national brands that I have to think about that are protecting that national brand. I have regional retailers, but I think the common thread between everyone is solid business practices, making sure that the businesses can thrive, taking care of our employees, making sure that we're not overregulated in California, providing that other perspective that retail represents, at least before COVID, we were one in four jobs, $330 billion to California's economy, in addition to local governments up and down the state. And I think when you look at it from that perspective, the economic impact that retail has, in addition to the employment impact retail has. And what I love about retail is it's such a diverse workforce. You know, you talk to people, and most people have, at some point in their life they've worked in retail, whether it's at 16 stocking the shelves, or you see some retailers that they love to employ folks, you know, like in a home improvement store where you have folks that are there that are former, you know, contractors and handymen, and they love to share their ideas on projects, to people who work in a department store who love interacting with people and helping put outfits together and accessories together. There's such a diversity to the industry that, you know, I really love representing all aspects of that, because so much of retail really in California are these small entrepreneurs who have decided to put themselves out there, start a business, particularly in retail. And they really have an impact, particularly on their local communities. And I love the opportunity to be able to advocate for them, both locally before city councils, but then also for them in the state legislature and with the governor's office.
Yeah, as a retail economic participant myself, you know, my first job, one of my first jobs, I should say, was working the floor at Mervyn's, which no longer exists.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But I learned more on the job trying to sell jeans about customer service and how to deal with all kinds of interesting people than I think any other position. I mean, it really kind of molded how I thought about being of service to others, you know, what I thought it meant to be able to take feedback and, you know, kind of take those key lessons. So I definitely with you, you know, as far as the kind of the value of retail and just that experience, you know, something interesting that happened here. And I wonder if you kind of experienced the same thing. You know, we had a situation here. I live in South Pasadena. And when the shelter at home orders came into effect and, you know, businesses, those that were concerned on essential were asked to close down, we had this very interesting moment where the restaurants in my neighborhood, you know, they could start doing pickup orders. And so we went to one of our favorite tea cafes. My kids, they love boba drinks. And
oh,
so
yeah.
We did a pickup order. And there was a bar, you know, a pub right next to it that, you know, I've been there before. It's a great place to hang out, have a drink. And they chose to stay open. It was St. Patrick's Day. And I know why they're doing it. I know that for them, yeah, obviously that's a big revenue day for them. But just the feeling of, you know, people were so already very scared. And to experience that and to be able to kind of, almost like this strange dichotomy where I understood why. And you can't help but feel sad and angry and compassion all at the same time. Because, you know, at one level, you're worried about your family and the safety and the health of others. But at the same time, you don't want to see that business fall apart. And so, you know, curious about, you know, I'm sure you're getting stories all the time from individuals seeking support. But how much does it become personal to you?
You know, I think when we first had the shelter in place order, businesses across the state wanted to do the right thing. No one knew what was going to happen. No one knew what we were dealing with. There was not a playbook written for this. You're dealing with not just the state government, local government, federal government. I mean, it was just a really kind of, how do we deal with it? And I want to say that over the last couple of weeks, we've worked a lot with the Newsom administration on guidelines for retail. We've had a lot of really good conversations about safety. We've been able to learn from those businesses that have been open, what worked and what didn't work. I think that your story rings so true because I think there were businesses up and down the state of California that were in that same position, you know, looking at this, whether it was a restaurant, a bar, a small retailer. You know, we're already seeing some larger retailers, national brands, filing bankruptcy because they couldn't weather the last couple of weeks that they weren't open. And it was so abrupt. You know, you didn't kind of build into it. It was just very abrupt. Your door is shut. And it's a really hard conversation to have. And I would have retailers calling me up saying, can't we just open? And, you know, I said, give us some time. Let's work through it. Because, you know, first and foremost, you want to protect the health and safety of your employees in the store. And you want to make sure your consumers feel safe coming into the store, because if you don't do that, they're not going to come in. It's the same as having your doors closed if your consumers aren't going to feel comfortable coming in. But I think for the small businesses, it was frustrating. And it goes back to the previous conversation we had. Because of the size of California and the diversity just of California, it's very hard, you know, to use a cookie cutter approach to the entire state. And I think that, you know, maybe there were parts of the state that maybe didn't have to get shut down. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, right? But I think that we did the shelter in place, we closed everything, and I appreciate that the governor understood that you needed to provide those variances for different parts of the state to allow some counties to open quicker than others. But I think it is a challenge. It's still a challenge today. We still have counties, particularly in the Bay Area, that they're not open. They're not open for retail. They're not open for dining in a restaurant. They're not open like other parts of the state. And you do sit here and wonder, on one side, you definitely see the COVID-19 numbers. But on the other side, you know, I've also talking to very desperate small business owners who are watching their entire life savings, their dream, their business, what they've put their heart and soul in, not being able to survive. And it's not because of decisions they made. It was decisions other people have made that they really feel helpless in being able to control the outcome.
So, Rachel, that's like such a it's hard to hear that, right? Because like you're talking about people's livelihoods, and it's not just their livelihoods, but it's their mortgage payments, right? It's their children's kind of food, and it's everything. And when we talk about retailers, like it's so interesting how I bet millions of us have experienced that initial story and learning experience of being in the workforce that Jesse had. I worked for an independent video store in my first job, and I learned so much from Jeff and Wendy, who were the owners, right? I mean, that was like close to 30 years ago, and I can oftentimes think about them through this experience. And, you know, when you talked about like the experience of the uncertainty of going into the shelter in place, can you share with us your thoughts about the movement to reopening and what your perspective would be on an effective approach to reopen the economy?
I think that the reopening was a little messy. I think that, you know, again, it's hard with California because of our size, and we encompass so many different industries and so many different facets of the economy are in California. And so particularly to retail, I think there was frustration building in the retail industry in general because you had retail open, right? Retail never truly closed. You just had certain businesses that were told you can stay open, and certain retailers were told you can't because you don't sell the particular items that these people are selling. So I think that became a little bit of a challenge in that you had stores that were open that were using COVID-19 protocols, that were following the CDC guidelines, that were open. And quite frankly, in a lot of the places that you saw these stores, whether it was grocery stores or big box stores, you weren't necessarily seeing, California luckily didn't see the huge peaks and huge numbers that you saw in other parts of the country, particularly given the population. We're the most populous state in the nation. So I think there's a little bit of, maybe a little bit of animosity within the retail industry, because again, I was starting to have retailers calling me saying, well, the government is picking winners and losers. They're picking what businesses can thrive in this economy and what businesses are going to be out of business. And I would say that's not the case. This is new. We're figuring this out together. And I spent a lot of time advocating really hard to the governor's office about things like curbside pickup, really working with the governor's office on the variances, saying you can't treat the entire state exactly the same, that there are parts of the state, probably in northern parts of California, that you could open, you know, but yet we saw yesterday the city of LA and the county of LA allowing in-store retail. I was a little surprised. I thought that would take a lot longer than it did. They moved pretty quickly on that. So, you know, I think that the reopening, the guidelines have been good. I think the guidelines are very workable for retail, the guidelines that the state has put out. The challenge does come in that at one point, I think I track all of the local ordinances in California, and we're well over 500 different local ordinances pertaining to COVID-19 in California. That becomes a challenge when this city is doing one thing, that city's not, but they're within the same county. So you're trying to figure out what ordinances are you trying to adhere to. And I think to have a little bit more uniformity would have been, I would have preferred that as someone running an association, having to interpret the guidelines and then share them with retailers across the country. But I think we're getting there. I think that we're seeing, you know, retail opening. We had our largest mall in Northern California opened last week. You're going to see malls opening in Southern California probably this week. You're going to see some of the larger department stores. A lot of them are opening on June 1st. So we're going to see this opening up of retail, and hopefully it will be seamless. It probably won't. I think the biggest challenge is the capacity limits, which is 50%. And, you know, stores have to keep their capacity less than 50%. But I've got to say, given what we were dealing with, I'm pretty impressed with how the reopening, at least from a retail perspective, has been going in California. And once the governor started granting variances, it moved pretty quickly. And, you know, he announced on Monday that all retail, in-store retail, is allowable in the state of California. And I think that was very helpful as well.
You know, a term we like to use down here in LA County, and I kind of heard it for the first time maybe a few weeks ago, was this idea of patchwork pandemic is kind of how they they described it, right? And I get it, but it's, in many ways, and as I'm sure you know, is, you know, that it's an easy term to use when trying to explain the approach. But, you know, and I think that's where the rubber hits the road, you know, with any kind of policy. I mean, you're trying to provide maximum benefit, right? And clearly some communities, some segments are going to be left out. I mean, I remember, you know, I was there with the Brown administration when minimum wage was introduced and those hikes and just the comments around inequity. But it's very difficult, you know, to roll out something in a uniform way when you have a state like California, which is so diverse and so complicated and complex, and but with so much going for it. You know, one thing that gets me that I get help from is by talking to others around the country who have similar populations. So, you know, New York, Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce has been a great supporter and kind of bending their ear about how they're approaching reopening. And can you share a little bit more about the different protocols or kind of what you're hearing as far as timeline goes and when certain orders will be lifted and when exactly that will occur?
That's a great question. I think timeline, you know, the governor, like I mentioned on Monday, released his guidelines for all in-store retail. And now it's down to, and the patchwork analogy is very true. And I know it was something that LA County was struggling with in terms of granting variances to different cities within the county to accelerate and open faster. I think that you're going to see the governor's done a really good job. He's laying out these big guidelines from the state perspective. So I think the next in talking with the governor's office is going to be youth sports. It's going to be gyms, which I think everyone is waiting. That's the next thing. After the barbershop and the hair salons, I think gyms is the next thing that everyone is waiting for him to provide that guidance for. I think you're going to see, you know, the school guidelines are going to be a pretty big one and what our schools are going to look like when they reopen in the fall or in the late summer. In terms of timeline, you know, it's such a fluid thing. There was a rural county who just announced, I think it's Lassen County, they're pulling back on their reopening because they've seen a little bit of a spike in positive COVID testing. So part of the challenge in reopening California is that there's still a lot of unknown, right? We still don't know. We need to increase our testing throughout the state. Counties need to really increase their testing locally. And I think as we see more testing happening, you'll see the loosening of the guidelines. But I think ultimately the thing to remember is while the state will come out with guidelines and kind of move us, so now we're in, I kind of say, the early phase of phase three, right? We kind of moved through phase two. Phase three was the hair salons and those types of things, gyms and those types of things. We're kind of at the beginning of that stage. I think as he sees more progress being made on the testing, he might loosen things up. Now, the other thing you've got to remember that you're also dealing with is as much as we're dealing with a health crisis, which we absolutely are with COVID, you have to layer on top of that the economic crisis that we're in because California is facing a huge budget deficit. We've lost sales tax revenue. Counties, I think the last count, they were $7 billion that they've lost in the last couple of weeks in terms of funding for essential services within cities and counties. So you have to weigh this between not only a perspective of health and safety, which is absolutely important, but then you also have now the debate going on with the state budget. What is the legislature going to do? The governor had proposed and may revise a number of cuts. The legislature doesn't like that, but they have until June 15th to pass their budget. So now that all of those discussions start happening. And remember, it was less than 3 months ago, California was sitting on a budget surplus. You know, we had all kinds of money. We were in great shape in terms of our financial situation and how quickly that changed. So I think the governor has to weigh all of that. I think local governments have to weigh all of that. And then finally, people can only take so much. You know, people want to get out. They want to, you know, some people are going to definitely stay home and not come out until there's a vaccine. But I think that you also have to weigh the human toll that this has on people not having that interaction. You know, you're seeing some health related things coming out that's not related to, they're not getting the virus, but there's other health issues now that are starting to percolate up. So there's a lot of things to have to kind of weigh that both the governor has to look at from a state perspective, but then all the local governments also have to take that into consideration as they make decisions in terms of opening their local governments.
Rachel, I think you're so spot on in thinking about how local businesses, local government are going to have to rethink the way that they open. I mean, and to your point, right, we're in the middle of May. May revise would be coming out right about now in not times like this. So by the time that this episode airs, we'll have had, you know, other businesses, some businesses will have reopened. And I'm curious, like, for those businesses, have you identified or pinpointed resources that you particularly like that folks should be looking at because they're providing them, like, you know, the resources to navigate how to reopen? Because there's so much information, whether it's the CDC or GoBiz here at the state, we have been flooded with resources. And I'm curious if you're sharing with your members any, like, particular resource guides to help them think through this.
So we do. We have a COVID-19 page on our website that we share both best practices and then also information. It's available to the public. So we share information about what's going on in different parts of the state. We've been tracking all the ordinances. We track all the counties and where they are in their opening. I think that GoBiz has done a really great job as well. You know, I think in terms of resources for particularly small businesses, I'm really encouraged by both. There's money within GoBiz for small businesses to apply for grants. There's money I'm seeing a lot among foundations with local chambers of commerce up and down the state for small businesses. We've reached out. I've been doing webinars for local chambers all over California. I'm really helping particularly small businesses navigate because, you know, when you think about some of the national retailers, they have general counsels, they have attorneys, they have all kinds of teams that can help them navigate these things because they're national, they're dealing with it all over the country. But I really try to make sure that we're a resource to our smaller businesses, our independent retailers, who they just want to know, how do I get my doors open? How do I obey the ordinances? How do I protect my consumers and my employees? How do I get access? We're looking at some programs to provide PPE to particularly independent retailers so that they have access to that, in addition to hand sanitizer, so that they can get open. But I think that it's the whole reopening, the resources. It's just very positive to see particularly how local chambers of commerce are really stepping up to help in their communities. I really have a soft spot for small business. And, you know, these entrepreneurs who put themselves out there and that's their dream. I want them to be as successful as they want to be successful. And so really, however we can be helpful in connecting them with different resources. You know, if they're a retailer in California, we have resources through our national association as well that we can connect them with. So those are all ways that we're trying to help retail. And I know that's true of other industries. I know the Restaurant Association is doing the same thing, the Manufacturers Association, all of us that represent the business community and have particularly both large, but really have some smaller members. We're doing everything we can to make sure they have the resources to be successful.
Rachel, I'm curious if, because I'm sure you're getting just so many different calls and emails every day. Are there certain issues that have kind of risen to the top as far as being common or, you know, that you're seeing out there in your constituents? Anything that you can share as far as that kind of top of mind concern, area of pain that's common amongst your constituents?
There is one. It's face coverings. It's face masks. It is one of the, I deal with that on a daily basis. The challenge is a couple of things. One, it goes back to what we talked about before where, you know, this patchwork of local ordinances where even within a county, you have certain cities that have mandated face coverings, even though the county hasn't. So you could have retail on either side of the street. One side you have to have a face covering, one side you don't. You have counties that have passed ordinances on face coverings, but the sheriff has come in and said, we're not going to enforce it. So that's become a challenge. And then you have I would say we've moved into kind of this political debate around face masks where some people are refusing to wear them. And, you know, our position is that we are here, you know, from a retail industry perspective, we want to protect the health and safety of our employees and our consumers, first and foremost. But it's also not the role of sales associates to be law enforcement. And what we're finding in some jurisdictions is that particularly smaller cities are putting sales associates in the role of law enforcement. And we've seen some cases of violence against sales associates who are trying to enforce the face covering ordinances. And some of that frustration and anger is being taken out on them physically. And that's something that we've tried really hard to work with local governments, in addition to the state legislature and the governor's office on this, because while we want to protect the health of consumers and sales associates from COVID-19, we also don't want to have sales associates being brutally attacked. And there's been some bad ones in California. So that's been a really challenging one. It's a lot harder than I thought to solve. I haven't solved it yet because it's such a personally charged issue as well. You know, some people are very adamant about wearing face coverings and there are other people who are very adamant about not. And then you get into issues where there are people who are told not to wear a face covering because of medical reasons, but a sales associate can't ask, you know, then you're getting into privacy issues with someone. And then are you discriminating if you don't allow them to come into the store? So it really is something that has to be worked through. And again, because we really didn't know what was going, you know, we didn't have a playbook for how to deal with all of these issues that came out because of the COVID-19 crisis. This is something that I think was a reaction that we still need to work on the legalities and making sure that we do it correctly.
Yeah, I mean, that just sounds so unfortunate and so frustrating. But, you know, we appreciate the work that you're doing to help at least people get a sense of direction and navigate through these, you know, very complicated hurdles, regulatory hurdles. And, you know, like we've been saying, it's so uneven, you know, and even as far as how the different cities are approaching it, the counties. And so I know that you're obviously a trusted resource for them as they try to navigate through this whole complex area. At this point in the show, what we'd like to do is actually bring in the voice of our listeners, you know, and provide them some input as far as answering their questions directly and see how we can help them hack their own business. And so what we did in anticipation of you coming and joining us today is we actually asked our listeners if they had any specific questions for you. And so we actually had a couple of great responses, and I wanted to just pose their questions and talk a little bit about some of your thoughts around their questions. And some of them are very specific, but I thought it would be really interesting for you. So,
okay.
So this comes from, you know, these are both retail owners based here in Los Angeles County. And the first one comes from Emily. You know, she has a garment retail operation called the Little Bra Company. And she was really curious. A lot of her business is kind of built around trade shows. And so her question kind of revolves, you know, is this the end of trade shows? You know, what are your thoughts around that whole kind of vehicle for marketing, for the buyer-supplier connection? You know, what do you see as far as the future of trade shows?
You know, I think we'll get back to trade shows. My gut is probably not until sometime next year, probably when there's a vaccine. You know, I know I've been getting emails on now the virtual trade shows. You know, there are these virtual meetings and these virtual conferences. But I think that the trade show, the conferences, all of that is such an ingrained part of business. And it's so much more than just the trade show. It's the networking. It's the connections. It's the inspiration that you get when you go to these trade shows that I think business people, particularly entrepreneurs, thrive on. So I do think we'll see that happening. that's probably going to be in the same bucket as when we see like NFL, you know, the big Super Bowl, all of the big event concerts, all of that, when we kind of move to being able to have that back again. I think that's when you'll see the whole trade show concept be allowed again throughout the country. What'll be interesting will be, my guess is there'll be certain states that are more open to having those types of events in their states than others. So that'll be an interesting dynamic to see how that plays out as well.
You know, just kind of touching upon the kind of the clothing retail experience, you know, what are your thoughts as far as people being allowed to go inside stores and fitting rooms, again, fitting rooms specifically? What do you hear?
Yeah. Most retailers right now are closing their fitting rooms. Some of them are keeping them open, though. I shouldn't say all of them. There are some that are keeping them open. They're doing every other fitting room. You leave your clothes in the fitting room. Someone will come in. That's their job. They come in. They wipe everything down. They take the clothes. The clothes are quarantined in the back, and then they're put back on the floor in like 24 to 48 hours. You know, what I'm noticing is most people prefer to just purchase the clothes, bring them home, try them on, and then take them back. Which is what you, when you think about it, if you order online, it's kind of the same thing. You order it and you send it back. So I think for the initial part, you're going to see less and less on being able to try things on, and more on you're just going to have to return it. What I am noticing is particularly the larger kind of department stores, you can even purchase it in the store and return it online, meaning you can go online, get the printing, the shipping label and all that, and ship it from your home. You don't have to go all the way back to the store. So I think you're going to see those types of things. I think in some of the smaller retailers, you know, they're also not opening their fitting rooms right away.
Got it. The other question that we received comes from Delilah. She's the owner of Hotbox store here in South Pasadena, which is a vintage store. And I had to give her a quick plug because one of the best presents I ever received in my life was my wife buying the Raiders starter jacket from 1990 that she happened to have in her store. And I can't even tell you, express to you the glee in which now my kids won't let me wear it anywhere, but I love that jacket and it's hanging in my closet right now. But her question is really kind of around business models. You know, she's curious about what are some of the exciting ways that you've seen small businesses pivot and thrive during the COVID-19 crisis.
So one thing that I really counsel small businesses, particularly retail, that the best practice that we learned was the importance of having an online presence. That you may not have the capital to invest now, but it's really something you need to include in your business model to be able to sell online, have people purchase online, whether you're going to ship it or do a curbside. I think that's something that all businesses, especially retail, really need to make sure that happens to protect their businesses going forward. But what I've been really impressed, the use of social media, utilizing Instagram. I've seen some small businesses where they're modeling clothes and they've brought in different people with different body types and put on the same outfit. So the same shirt or pair of pants, so people can kind of see how it would look on different body types. Really inventive things with, you know, reaching out, marketing to via social media to their consumers, keeping them engaged during this time. Really impressed again with local chambers who have really, now that retail's open in most parts of the state, really focusing and marketing the small businesses in the communities and really getting back to the kind of that small business, you know, go to your small businesses, you know, make sure you buy that pair of shoes. This last weekend where I live, I went into all of my local retailers and bought new shoes for my daughter, a graduation gift for my niece, and I made sure I was doing it to small businesses. I think that kind of marketing, one that I thought was really interesting where I live, my local Chamber of Commerce did a donation. So for every $100 you spent at a small business and you turned in your receipt, they made a donation to a nonprofit in our community in your name. I thought that was a really interesting way that the chamber partnered with their small business members to get folks to continue to buy from their different stores and doing the curbside or doing the takeout for the restaurants. So those are some of the things that I think have been really innovative. But the one big thing I really do leave with a lot of my small independent retailers is figure out a way to utilize the web, you know, the online marketplaces. Make sure you have an online presence so that if we ever end up with a second wave or that type of thing, you know, from a retailer's perspective, from an association, we're pushing for continued at a minimum curbside pickup entirely for all retail. But you have to have the mechanism in order to make that happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think what this has really forced a lot of folks to do is really think about how they integrate technology and innovation mm-hmm. into the work they do. And you really see, I mean, at least I've seen those who have really embraced it and chosen to lean in into the crisis and mm-hmm. and really, you know, kind of jump into it feet first and say, okay, I'm going to take this opportunity to learn a new tool, to try to reach a new audience, to try to do something that's maybe a little bit scary, that might not pan out, but now is not the time to, I guess, kind of shy away from risk when there's just so much on the line. So yeah, I totally agree. And you can really see those who really embrace social media and kind of innovative practices when it comes to just kind of customer service, customer yeah. delivery. Yeah, it's been really amazing. You definitely want to make sure that people get a chance to, if they want to do follow-up with you, you know, have specific questions relating to retail, what's the best way they can reach you or your organization?
So we have our website is at calretailers.com. You can go on there. There's all kinds of information on there about retail and our association. There you can link directly to my email, but I'll give you my email as well. It's rmichelin, M-I-C-H-E-L-I-N, at calretailers.com. Email's the best way to get a hold of me. Happy to answer any questions specific to different types of retail, provide my insight, what I've learned, best practices, provide some tools if you're looking at reopening, and some of the things that we've learned from our other retailers that have opened in other parts of the state.
Awesome. And any final words, any last advice to the small business owners, entrepreneurs out there?
You know, I would just say that I actually have a lot of optimism. I think that as we look to reopening the economy in California, retail is going to have such California's economy will recover on the backs of retail. I always say retail, tourism, and restaurants were kind of the three pegs. And I think that there's so much opportunity. I think there's a lot of resources and there's a lot of us out there that really want to help, particularly our independent retailers, be successful and navigate. And I think you nailed it on the head. Take advantage, take a risk. Take advantage of what could be, and you never know how successful you could end up being because of this situation that at one point seems so detrimental could actually really lead to much more success for you in the future.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time, Rachel, and thank you for all the work you're doing for your retail businesses and your constituents. We know you have a very busy schedule, so just thank you for everything you do.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you for joining us. If you are a California business owner seeking out resources and support, please visit our website, COVID19BizTools.com, which provides a comprehensive listing of grants, programs, and services for COVID-19 impacted businesses. You can also visit COVID19BizTools.com if you'd like to be featured on the show and have a question you'd like to have answered by myself, my co-host Sid, and our guests. Thank you again, have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.